Today, should I sell now? Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Back in January, I published a video entitled To Buy or Not to Buy? That is indeed the question, which addressed the question of should I buy property now? And it's still available and as current as it was. But as we have seen prices slide further, which we showed in yesterday's edition of the Property Imperative Weekly, one question is coming up more and more often from our community, and that is, should I sell now? And this question is ever more relevant as the future direction looks to be that prices are going south, so reducing the paper value of property. But I think the answer has to be, it depends. Once again, a necessary caveat, as this is not financial advice, and your mileage may vary. But I think there are some principles which are worth exploring in general terms. So today, I'm going to touch on some of the most important ones. First, I think the answer, do I sell, will vary by the type of property holder. For those owning a property to live in for own occupation, to provide shelter, you may have reason to switch properties, perhaps because of a move with a job, or a trade up, or to get more space, or to trade down to get a smaller place, and possibly even to release capital on the way through. Now, here is an important point. You only need one property, just one. So at any point in the market cycle, if you sell to buy, you're crystallizing value in your existing property at the point in time that you sell and commit to buy a new place at the same time. So in a relative sense, if you sell or buy, you transact at a specific point of time. And even if values have fallen, so you have lost some paper equity in your existing place, the property you are buying may well also have fallen. Though, of course, different markets may be moving at different rates, and even different types of property may have moved differentially. But generally, selling and buying can actually be done at any time, provided, of course, there are properties to buy and prospective purchases for your existing place. It might be much harder if the market itself has frozen. But often you will have a mortgage on your existing place and you are selling, and often therefore you'll need to repay that from the proceeds of the sale. And that's fine, provided that you've sufficient equity, even if the capital value has fallen. But it could be a real barrier if the value of the mortgage is higher than the property, the so-called negative equity problem. And in fact, it is often negative equity which becomes the barrier to switching property, as we have seen in other markets where prices fell 30 to 40%. But if you do have sufficient equity to repay the mortgage and need a mortgage on a new place, you may have to apply afresh. Or, of course, bear in mind that lending standards may have become tighter, so you might not be able to get the same value of loan as previously. And this is also true if your circumstances have changed. So it's worth checking out this early. Generally, mortgage borrowing power has been reduced in recent months. Or perhaps your mortgage is portable. And in fact, loan portability is often a standard on all home loans, but you may have to ask. And sometimes it's not obvious. This means if you choose to move house, you can take your loan with you. So in that case, you transfer your existing loan to another property without having to go through the process of refinancing. But you will need to ask your lender for the hidden rules and parameters. And generally, you may have to pay slightly more for the flexibility of portability. And overseas, some lenders even allow negative equity to be transferred to facilitate a move. Sometimes people will try to sell, rent, and wait for the market to fall further before buying. That might work, but you are essentially taking a bet on the market. You might be right. You could be wrong. As I've said before, predicting future home price movements is a mug's game, and most predictions will be wrong. There are too many moving parts. Finally, though, if you are trading down, seeking a smaller place to release capital, you may want to bring the transaction forwards because larger value homes are falling faster than smaller ones. On the other hand, those seeking to trade up and get a larger place might do better to wait, as prices may fall, so you can get a larger place for less money. But again, you're betting on the market and you may be wrong. One other scenario to consider is being forced to sell, perhaps because the mortgage repayments are just too demanding. In fact, Given that we have nearly 1 million households in mortgage stress now, based on our research, and flat incomes, the number facing difficulty is increasing. Now, the banks have an obligation to assist in cases of hardship, and they may be able to restructure the loan or even waive interest payments for a bit in this case. They're also loath to push people out of their homes as a forced sale, as this risks significant negative publicity. And it also may reduce the value of the property in the process. But they often encourage stressed households to sell, and we're seeing a rise amongst these households. In this case, households come to accept that there is no way out but to sell. And in this situation, it is probably better to sell sooner rather than later, as in our experience in the current environment, the cure rate is very low, unless the problem is created by a short-term health or employment hiatus. But often it's a matter of income just consistently not covering expenditure. So selling in these circumstances can be a positive circuit breaker. And in a falling market, selling sooner may yield net higher returns. So now to property investors. Here the equation is quite different. We are already seeing some sassy property investors selling to realise the capital gains that they've achieved, especially in Sydney. Remember, value is not true value until it's crystallised. In some cases, this is to reinvest in the smaller markets of Adelaide and Hobart, where capital gains are, at least for the moment, still being seen. Though that may change, of course. For some investors, it's simply that the net rental yield, the flow of rental payments less the cost of managing and maintaining the property, are now net negative. So unless you can see rapid capital growth to offset losses elsewhere from other income, it might be time to sell. Our latest data shows that about half of all rentals are underwater on a cash flow basis, especially in Victoria and New South Wales. Some other states, such as Queensland, are doing somewhat better, mainly because values have not lifted so high, and so mortgages relative to rental streams are smaller. So it pays to shop around, as the outcomes are remarkably different, depending on the location. The fact is, for many, the true all-in returns, even allowing for capital appreciation, are remarkably low, and many investors do not do the calculations to know the real picture. They would get a nasty surprise if they did. And if capital values continue to fall, yields will drop also. And in addition, rental rates are more connected with incomes rather than home prices. So changes in capital value or even mortgage rates do not necessarily get reflected in the majority of rents. Now, this is a pre-tax picture, by the way. Talking of tax, the current generous tax incentives are used by many, especially more affluent households, to reduce their effective taxable income. This is why the government can say that the majority of negatively geared investors do not have large incomes. It is stating the obvious, as net income is, after all, the tax manipulation. Some investors are choosing to sell to lock in significant capital gains. And again, the tax breaks are generous, fearing that values may fall ahead. Others are being forced to sell to meet or avoid higher mortgage repayments as they move from interest-only loans to principal and interest loans. This is especially true for those holding multiple properties, and many have more than five, and some even more than 20 leveraged investment properties. So they sell to cover the costs on the others. But once again, it's important to remember that mortgage underwriting standards are now much tighter, including a 20% haircut on rental streams to cover times when the property is vacant, a repayment assessment made on a pre-tax, not a post-tax position, and on a principal and interest basis, even if applying for an interest-only loan. And significantly more questions and evidence is required to get a loan, especially if you are materially dependent on the rental streams to cover the costs of the mortgage. Remember too, that Labor would freeze negative gearing for most new transactions, but as I understand it, they do not plan retrospective changes. So existing negative geared loans may be more attractive to retain, and they may still have tax breaks for newly built property. There are no details as yet. Generally, in a downturn, it's investors who flee the market first, as data from Ireland and the UK both show. This is why investor mortgages are more risky, and the Bank of England says four times more likely to default. So my perspective would be that investors might seriously want to review their portfolios and to estimate the true current net returns. Given many will have paper profits in capital gains over recent years, there is a strong logic to sell. But again, it does depend on your view of future home price movements. And as you know, we hold the view that prices are correlated with loan availability, and because loans are now harder to come by, property prices have further to fall. We think prices are generally at least 30% overvalued compared with their true economic value. So the bottom line is this: property investors have more of a burning platform to take action and should consider selling before prices fall further. Downtraders also would be in a similar position, as they're also seeking to lock in capital growth. On the other hand, uptraders may prefer to wait, assuming prices will fall further. And those owner-occupied sellers who need to move should probably do so in any case, with the caveat that the mortgages available now will be smaller than they were a few months ago. Again, to reiterate, this is not financial advice. It's just my hopefully informed opinion. But you would need to get much more specific guidance based on your individual circumstances. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst at Digital Finance Analytics.